Given the consensus shared by Alaskans that salmon habitat is valuable and worth protecting, and that Alaska's constitution requires sustained yield of salmon, do you believe that the current law is adequate? If yes, explain your answer. Likewise, if no, tell us why.
That was panel moderator and longtime fisheries reporter Lainey Welch. After a couple of brief presentations, the panel took turns addressing that question, and there weren't many surprises. Industry representatives say current protections are more than enough. They said new proposed sweeping regulations for habitat protection would hamper economic development in the state. Some of the fishermen on the panel took a more nuanced approach, saying there's plenty more to be done to protect habitat, but a lot of it is already on the books. It just needs to be enforced. The lone scientist on the panel, Sue Mauger of Cook Inlet Keeper, says regulators need to have the tools to take what she calls a more holistic approach to analyzing project proposals, no matter how big or how small.
Our best chance of having thriving fisheries in the future is to provide diverse habitat options for salmon as they face changing climate conditions, changing fishery impacts. The diverse habitat is our best hope for having a different outcome than every place else that has had salmon.
Bob King, a longtime voice of Bristol Bay for KDLG in Dillingham, has a little bit of knowledge about those other places that have watched their salmon returns all but disappear. He gave a brief presentation on the history of fisheries management before the panel dug in, and afterward, he said this management of humans and salmon has always been a delicate balancing act.
It's interesting from a historian's perspective and being able to trace this back 1,000 years to when, you know, Britain passed some of the first legislation. That handled what they needed back then. What do we need now? What really, really works? The legislation for Alaska habitat that we're currently using dates back to 1959, when we first became a state. And it's been amended and changed over the years, but...
But policy moves slow, and Alaskans move fast. There are a lot more people, roads, just development in general than 60 years ago. That's why there are calls for some pretty big changes to legislation that would shape how the state views salmon habitat alongside other resource extraction. One such effort is House Bill 199, the Wild Salmon Legacy Act. It seeks to update Title 16 in state statutes. That's a broad range of regulations that basically tell Fish and Game how to do what Fish and Game does. It's also the section Bob King referred to that's only been updated periodically since statehood. Representative Louise Stutz of Kodiak is sponsoring HB 199.
The state needs to be proactive and not reactive. We don't want to end up like Washington, Oregon, California, Idaho. We want to be ahead of the curve. And I think that when we suggested reviewing Title 16, Fish and Game was on board in a lot of respects because they said we can use the additional guidelines so we know specifically what we're looking at and what we're tasked with.
At its essence, the bill would change Alaska from a shall-issue kind of a system whereby a permit shall be issued unless... In the case of Title 16, that's unless a project is insufficient for proper protection of fish and game resources. But what exactly proper protection isn't clear. HB 199 would create a tiered system for granting permits to major and minor projects, but the bigger change, the one that has conservationists' approval and a skeptical eye from industry, is directing fish and game to automatically assume a stream is anadromous and home to fish. Nailing down that kind of data in the state's anadromous streams catalog is time-consuming and costly. Ron Benkert, a habitat biologist with Fish and Game, described a stream near a highway project in the interior that had been surveyed for salmon 4 times. 4 times they didn't find any fish. But then they did one last check.
He found 2 coho in the stream that had been sampled 4 times already. So it's just kind of forewarned you. If you assume anadromy and you go out there and sample and there's nothing there, that doesn't mean that's not an anadromous stream. I mean, it's kind of a backwards way to look at it, but it is true. We've seen it over and over again where there's nothing in that stream on a sampling event. Next time you go out there, it's chock full of fish.
And that's the way everyone wants it to be. Streams chock full of fish. But having that and a thriving industry, well, that will continue to be the challenge in Alaska for at least another 60 years. In Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.